about us. You know all our needs, Lord. You know our shortcomings. And Lord, you know us more than we know ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so, our Father, we just pray that you would look after us, Lord. And as we study your word, our sincere desire, Lord, is to know you better and to know the love of our Lord Jesus Christ more and more as we grow in the grace and knowledge of him. Mm-hmm. So, our Father, we want to commend ourselves to thee this morning. Help us by the Holy Spirit to teach us from thy word. Pray for our brother Eric as well, Lord, as he ministers thy word. And we pray for Long as he interprets thy word, Lord, from the word of God. So help us, we pray. We give thee thanks now and ask this in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, we also think of this lady, Angela, mm-hmm. that Joanna was talking about, Lord. Catholicism is all over the world, and these people have just been blinded, Lord, mm-hmm. To the truth. And they just don't know the truth. They just go along with tradition and religion. Yet there's a lot more to the truth than just religion. And so, our Father, we just pray for her, that you would open her eyes and open her heart, Lord, and her understanding that the way of Catholicism is the way of the devil, really. And, Lord, we just pray that she might be saved. So we commend her into your hand. We pray for Wendy as she ministers that word to her. And, Lord, give her grace as well, and Jürgen Schultz as well, Lord. So we give thee thanks now and bless thee, and praise thee and worship thee, for thou art our Lord and our King. We thank thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you, each one here today. We're kind of squeezed into a little corner here. But it's cozy, as you might say. We've been looking at the past few weeks at the different principles of scripture interpretation. How are we to approach scripture? The example of Angela being a Roman Catholic, it's a good point because these Roman Catholics, they are Christian by tradition only.
那比方说呢，我们提到的刚才这个Angela姊妹啊，那她呢是一个天主教背景来的。那这样的一个背景呢，其实就给我们很好的角度，哎，他们的读经的角度是不一样的。
So the scripture says that we are born again by the word of God.
那圣经说呢，我们是借着神的话而重生的。Now
you might ask ourselves, what does that mean exactly?
那你可能会问呢，那这个什么意思呢？借着神的话重生什么意思？
Well, the word of God is specifically, it is the promise of God. It's God's word to you or me as individuals.
那神的话呢，就是对你我的应许啊。
So if somebody promises you something, they give you their word. And God says that in the scriptures we find that God has provided a salvation. A salvation that meets the need of us as sinners. We've all sinned.
我们都是罪人，那作为罪人，我们需要得救的救恩，那神就预备了。And
in God's provision for salvation, we read there the promise, He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out.
所以神就给了我们这样的应许，说一切到他面前来的，他必不丢弃，啊，他就一定会救我们。
So when we That's the importance of the Bible. It tells us what we are and what God has done in order to save us.
圣经就借着这样的文字来告诉我们我们是谁，然后神要怎么样来救我们。
So it's not a religion.
所以它不是一个宗教。
Basically, it's truth that has been given to us by God.
是借着神赐给我们的真理。
So, when we approach Scripture, it's because that's the source of the truth.
当我们来到圣经面前，我们就知道这个是真理的源头。
The source of truth is not in Halong, it's not in Jeet, it's not in me. That we're not the source of truth.
真理的源头不是在我们几个身上，不是在说的人身上。
The source is in what God has said.
而是在神所说的话里。
And so we want to be able to understand what God has said in order that we might be saved according to His promises.
那我们可能要先要明白那神说了些什么，那这样的话呢，我们就能够支取他这个应许。
But you've had the same difficulty that I've had, and that is trying to understand what the Scripture says at times.
那这样的话呢，我们就会面对一个困难，你和我都有的，就是我们时不时会觉得怎么样理解这本圣经才是对的。
I mean, it's a big book.
因为这本很大的书嘛。
And it encompasses hundreds of years of time.
它时间前后跨越了几千年呢。
It goes right back to the origin of everything.
它回到了一切创世的源头。
So what we've been looking at is different principles of how we can understand Scripture.
所以我们今天就过去几周也一直在看怎么样能理解圣经。
When you read it, how are we to know what it means?
当你读的时候，我们怎么知道它什么意思？
So we've looked at a number of different principles.
我们已经读了几个原则了。
And we started off by reminding ourselves that Scripture is all Scripture, the whole Bible is God's word to mankind.
那首先呢，我们知道所有的圣经都是神的话啊，不是说哪一卷才是。
And what the purpose of the book is that it might reveal who God is.
整本书的目的呢，就是启示我们神是什么样的神。
Now in the Old Testament, He revealed Himself through directly to many of the old patriarchs.
那旧约呢，他是直接向他的以色列的先祖啊，那些先知们说话。
And then through prophets who spoke in His name.
借着先知呢。来传讲他的话语。
But the whole purpose was to reveal who he really was, and he couldn't do it through man.
然后他主要的目的就是来把自己启示给我们，因为这样的光靠人传呢是传不完全的。
What he did was he demonstrated who he was by becoming a man.
所以呢他进一步的启示他自己，就神道成肉身，成了一个人。
And then, what did he do? He, as a man, he served man. He came as a servant.
他道成肉身，成为一个人来服侍人。
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself to become a curse and die for man.
他以至于进一步谦卑。谦卑成为那咒被咒诅的啊，为人死了。
And all that man had lost in the Garden of Eden through sin, he reclaimed by his death and his resurrection.
那一切在因着伊甸园亚当的堕落而堕落的人类呢，神耶稣基督都在他的救恩里都可以把他们救回来。
So we see the triumph over evil.
所以我们看见了。向着恶者的这个胜利啊。
See, in the world, we see so much, so many problems, so much evil in the world.
我们看见这个世上有太多的罪恶了。
So much injustice.
太多的不公啊。
But he, the man from heaven, is going to be the final judge. Not only is he the savior of the world, but he's going to be the final judge.
所以那审判主。耶稣基督他会成为那最终，他不但是救主，他也会是最终的审判主。
So the purpose of the scripture is to reveal who God was or God is in his Son. The Son reveals the Father.
所以整本圣经就是借着耶稣基督呢来启示神是怎样的神，因为耶稣是怎样，神就是怎样的。
So John chapter 1.
约翰福音一章。
John chapter 1. I'm just reminding you of these truths that are
来提醒大家一下这些
John chapter 1 verse 18.
一章十八节。
No one has ever seen God.
从来没有人看见神。
No one. They have seen an angelic revealing in the Old Testament.
他们也不可能在旧约啊借着这种天使般的人形象的来启示。
But God Himself dwells in the light that nobody can approach.
而神他却住在人不能接近的光中。
So no one has had a direct view of God Himself.
所以没有人能够直接的见到神。
And it's no wonder because God is a spirit. He's invisible to mankind, and he has to remain that way. Otherwise, man would be destroyed if he came into his presence.
对，所以这也是能理解，因为神是个灵嘛，然后我们如果接近他呢，我们可能就被毁了。
And on Mount Sinai, God came down on that mount. It was black, burned with fire, with lightning and thunder.
在西乃山上呢。人们看见的这个神显出来的形象是雷轰闪电密云黑暗是很可怖的。
And God gave man his Ten Commandments.
神之后就给了人那十诫。
Now those commandments, they revealed the righteousness of God.
这十诫呢启示了神的公义。
The holiness of God.
神的圣洁。
Those laws that were given, they said what man ought to be.
所以这些律法呢，就告诉人本来人应该是怎么样。
But we've all fallen short of that.
可惜呢，就是我每个人都是亏缺了。
You break
犯了神的律法。
You break one law, you break them all.
你犯一条就全犯了。
Because it all reveals the holiness of God.
因为它启示了神全然的圣洁。
Now God didn't reveal Himself.
神并没有单独启示他自己。
There at Mount Sinai.
在这个西乃山啊，他不是说呢，只靠着西乃山来启示自己。
It revealed a part of His character.
因为那只是启示了他一部分的性情嘛。
But God is love.
但神的本性是什么呢？神的本性是爱。
And God's love.God wanted to display His love.
神也愿意把他的爱呢显示出来。
The only way He could do that adequately was to come Himself and to offer Himself as a sacrifice for man's sin.
那他能够把自己的爱很充分的显示出来，那最好的办法就是作为一个祭物啊，为我们死在十架上，为我们的罪死在十架。
So he could reconcile man to himself, who he made for himself.
借着这样的祭物，他能够使人与他重新和好。
That's the true gospel.
这就是真正的福音了。
It's the gospel is of God's grace, how He loves man, He's given Himself for him, and man can do nothing except to believe God.
福音就是神把这救恩就是借着他的耶稣基督的死来做的救恩呢，来给到人啊，白白的给到人，让人做不了任何别的方式，除了接受和相信。
So to trust God, that's all. To trust His word.
这就是相信神的话，接
受
他的救恩。
So that's what the Bible is, basically. It's God's love letter to us.
所以这就是一本圣经的 目的了，是神写给人的情书啊。
All sin's cost has been fully met on the cross of Jesus Christ.
那所有罪的代价在十字架上都已经得着满足了。
How do I know that God was satisfied with that sacrifice?
那我怎么知道神悦纳了这样的祭物呢？
The third day he raised Jesus from the dead.
因为第三天神使耶稣从死里复活了。
Now he's a living savior.
现在他是一个活着的救主。
And the rest of the New Testament after the cross tells us of his new life in believers.
那剩下的这些书信里面就讲的神的新生命啊，在信徒里显明出来什么样子。
So we're not following a dead religion, a dead leader.
所以我们不是跟随一个死的宗教，死了的领袖。
A living Savior who lives in the hearts of each one of us who trust.
而是一个活的救主，他在每一个信的人里面活着。
So the first thing we remember is.That God, that all of Scripture is inspired by God. It all has a purpose for you.
所以我们首先知道呢，所有的圣经呢，都是神所默示的，都有一个目的。
Some things are hard to understand. What you can do is lay them aside until God gives you more light.
那有的时候可能一开始难理解，怎么办呢？先放一边，神到时候会启示你的。
There's lots of Scripture that's very plain.
有很多的经文呢，一开始就是很直白的。
And if you want to grow in grace,
如果你想在恩典里长大
，then what you read and you understand, you must obey.
那你就要你读到也明白的事呢，就要去遵行了。
And if you read and understand and obey, God will give you more light.
如果你相信理解也遵行神就会让你看见更多的光
He'll open up the scriptures more and more to you
他会让这个圣经越来越让你能明白
So there's a one thing or two things before we start is that number one the scripture is God's word
所以我们开始之前呢有两个点第一呢是圣经就是神的话
It's God breathed it's a living word
是神活着的话语
Secondly, the purpose was for God to reveal His Son.
第二的目的呢，就是神要借着耶稣基督启示他自己。
Or reveal Himself through His Son.
借着耶稣基督启示，以及也启示耶稣基督，因为基督也是神。
Then we looked at a number of principles. We read the scriptures just like we read a newspaper.
那接着我们看不同的原则，我们读这本圣经就像读一个报纸一样的。
Not that the newspapers are inspired by God, I don't mean that.
我并不是说呢，报纸也是神启示的，我不是这个意思。
As the President of the United States says, a lot of it's fake news. This is not fake news.
美国总统呢，我们经常看见很多假新闻，但是呢，这不是假新闻。
So, we read it because the words...God wanted to communicate something. He's going to communicate in words that we understand.
所以神呢，想要跟我们有一些话语的联系啊，就是能够让我们能够理解的话语的联系。
It's not some mystical language that he uses.
所以他不是用一些神秘的话语让我们不能明白的。
Some of the ideas are hard to understand, but the words themselves, we take them at the same value.We take every other communication.
虽然有的时候它传递出来的这个想法或者概念你可能难以接受，但是它用的词、它的表述方式就跟我们平常这个学习的任何的书籍是一样的。
And of course, that includes figurative speech, like metaphors and similes and so on.
这就包括它用一些写作的手法，比方说暗喻啊、比喻啊、对比啊。
We use the example of John the Baptist saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God." When he saw the Lord Jesus.
我们原来用的例子就是，那是施洗约翰说，看哪，神的羔羊，除去世人罪孽。
Now, it wasn't a literal lamb. It was the idea of this one was coming. He was to be the sacrifice.
所以这不是说那真正的羊，而是这个耶稣基督来，他会像一个祭物一样献上为我们的罪。
So. we use the normal way of, when we read something, the normal method of interpreting anything that we read.
所以我们用普通的这个方式啊，来做这个解经啊，就是我们原来读书是怎么样的。
We have to put things into their historical context.
啊，第二呢，我们也要把这个放在历史的背景里。
Sometimes I'm learning a lot about China. I wonder why.
我也学了很多关于中国的事情，我也不知道为什么。
And some of the things now I'm beginning to understand because I understand the context.
那有的我现在关于中国的时候开始能理解了，因为我知道上下文了。
And you have to understand something of the history of China to understand the present time.
所以你为了要理解中国的现在，你需要知道中国的历史。
So the same thing with the Bible. Sometimes we're talking about people who lived thousands of years ago.
圣经也是一样，因为我们在讲那几千年前一群人所写的东西。
So there's some strange things in there, but we can learn from dictionaries, Bible dictionaries, that scholars have used to explain some of the customs, ancient customs and things that go on that are hard to understand for us today.
所以会有一些工具书会有意义的，比如说字典呢，然后我们可以去查，那知道哦，原来的这个古中东的这块地方呢，他们的一些常用的做法或者一些操作的背景是什么，上下文是什么。
And then the grammatical principle.
然后我们也讲到了文法的原则。
The meaning of words.
不同的词的意思。
The parts of speech.
然后就是一个话语当中的一部分。
And so on. So you need to take a scholarly look at the scriptures themselves to find out exactly what it actually says.
所以我们需要通过就从学者的研究的角度看每一个词的它的准确的意思，然后才能明白他想传递什么信息。
If it's God's word, then God has chosen those particular words for a special meaning.
如果这是神的话呢？那神特别选这个词是有意义的。
And one of my experience has been that as I study the Word of God, I'm surprised at how little I understood some very plain things, but because I didn't read the passage carefully.
所以我自己读的时候会有这个感受，因为我觉得，我经常会跳过一些这个很直白、很简单的这个，就是因为读的不够仔细。
So we must pay very close attention to what it actually says.
所以我们要很小心的看它真正想传递的意思是什么。
You might ask yourself as you read, who was this portion written by?
所以你可能会问我，这一段它是谁写的？
Who was it written to?
这是要写给谁的？
When was it written?
什么时候写的？
What was the purpose of the writer in writing?
作者的意思又是什么呢？
And so on. One of the things might surprise people is that God likes people to ask questions.
所以神呢，喜欢人呢，去问问题，这个我们要记得。
The scriptures are not, they're not just, they don't just belong to teachers,and preachers and priests and so on.
所以圣经的答案并不局限在就是教师啊牧师啊就这些神的工人的。
You can read it for yourself because it's God's love letter to you.
你可以自己读，因为这封信也是神写给你的。
So you can ask questions.
所以你可以问他问题。
You can say something like this.
你可以这么说。
Lord,I don't understand this. Please open the scriptures to me by your Holy Spirit.
你可以这么说，你说主啊，我不明白这个话，求你呢把这圣经呢打开解开给我听。
Well, guess what?
你猜怎么样呢？
He's delighted to do that.
然后他就光照你们，你就读明白了。
Now, Jürgen Schultz, some of you heard him preach. He's a missionary to Bolivia.
对，那 Jürgen 弟兄啊，他在玻利维亚传道的。
And he's written a book.
那他写了一本书。
And if you don't understand something in that book, right now you could go up to their apartment and ask him if he would explain something out of his book.
Which I've done.
Which you've done. There it is. See?
对，他写了一本书，我们最近他刚好也在温哥华啊。然后呢，如果你拿他这本书呢，你看有不明白呢，很简单，你拿这本书到他住的公寓去，你问他就好了，你这到底想说什么？
Did he refuse?
He was delighted. He took all this time to explain it.
There it is.
史万纳姊妹说，他就去问了，然后艾瑞克弟兄说呢，他有没有拒绝你呢？当然没有，他很高兴，花了很多时间把真正的意思都解开给我听了。
Well, the Holy Spirit is the author of this book.
圣灵啊，是这本书的作者。
We read that holy men of God spoke by the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God moved them.
因为呢，这里虽然都是不同的神的工人写的，但都是圣灵在他里面感动他，让他写下的话语，所以都是原作者都是神。
So if you can speak to the author,
所以你可以跟原作者去谈的。
Say, Lord, I don't understand this.Please open my eyes to my might understand what this means for me.
你说你就做个祷告，你说主啊，我不明白，求你开我的眼呐，让我能够明白。
Now he won't necessarily give you the whole, all the picture.
神不一定会就一下子把所有的东西全告诉你，整个大的图像。
He'll give you enough to feed your soul that day.
但他会一定给你足够当天让你满足的灵粮了，赐给你。
So.We can ask questions of the Bible.
所以我们可以问神关于圣经的问题。
Now last week we looked at another principle, and it's called the synthesis principle.
所以上一周呢，我们也看了一个新的原则啊 ，synthesis 就一致啊。
That is that Scripture will interpret Scripture itself.
就是经。和经是一致的，以经解经。
So sometimes you might ask the question, what does this scripture mean?
有的时候你会说，哎，这段经文什么意思呢？
And sometimes the Lord will direct you to another scripture that will throw light on that scripture.
那神有的时候会带着你去读另外一处的圣经，自然就解释了这处的问题。
Or you'll be reading the scripture and suddenly.An answer to a prayer you asked last week, the Lord reveals this week to you.
也许呢，你读着读着经，哎，神就让你看见上一周你做的一个祷告呢，神就借着这次读经回答你。
So it's a little bit like an adventure.
所以这就像探险一样。
It's like a journey, a spiritual journey.
一个属灵的旅程。
As you travel along the path of life, the Lord.Illuminates your path through the word.
你在走生命之路的时候呢，神就照亮你的路啊。
And that's what the psalmist said. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
就像诗篇的作者说，你的话语就是我脚前的灯，路上的光。
So we want to continue this week with the synthesis principle.
所以我们今天会继续这样的一个。统一的或者以经解经的原则。
That is scripture will interpret scripture.
就是经以经解经。
Scripture is consistent. There's no contradictions anywhere in the scripture.
那经文是一致的，你不要指望从经文里找到自相矛盾的地方。
When you're walking in semi-darkness, you can easily confuse things.
如果你在半黑暗的状态下走。你会有糊涂。
I was walking up Fourth Avenue one night. I was pretty tired. I looked up the street and I saw a wolf. up the street.
他说他有一天在四街走啊，那天天很暗，有点暗了哈、啊，然后他。
Now, I didn't see a wolf. It looked like a wolf, but it was just the shadow. Once I got near it, and the street light, I got more light, I realized that wasn't at all.
然后呢，他就走近了看，发现不是，是个影子，啊，看错了。
So, as we walk in the light, the Lord shines light on the passages of Scripture to reveal things. To us, the real things.
所以神呢会光照我们读经的这些经文啊，让我们一点一点最终看见真实的神要传递的信息是什么。
Just as when I got closer to what appeared to be a wolf, it showed that it wasn't. As I got more light on that portion of the street, I knew what it was. It was.The reflection of a garbage can, really. Or the shadow of a garbage can.
所以他就用他这个例子，他说呢，他远远看的是错的，但是他越走近呢，光就越聚集了，就越清楚了。所以呢，光照了下来以后呢，他就能看清楚哦，原来这不是，是一个垃圾桶的影子。
In the same way as you progress through Scripture, you can Scripture will explain.The difficult, the obscure, some other scripture as you read.
同样的，你一直读经呢，别处的经文就开始会帮助你解释一些你原来读的很模糊地方的经文。
A plain passage will interpret an obscure passage.
一个直白的经文会帮助你解释一些难解的经文。
And we have the New Testament. That reveals the Old Testament.
而新约呢也会帮助你解释旧约的困难。
What was hidden in the Old Testament and obscure is often made plain in the New Testament.
很多旧约隐藏的可能很模糊的事情呢，在新约就直白的解释出来。
Have you ever read or run across the word a mystery in the New Testament?
你有没有说，哎，我碰到一个词叫新约的秘密呢？
Paul says, for example, this is a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
保罗说，哎，我说的这是个奥秘，但是我所指的是基督和他的教会。
Now, the word there used doesn't mean something mysterious, you know, like some, magicians make things mysterious in the dark and so on.
所以这里保罗想说的不是那神秘的，比如说那些巫术想要描述的这么一个场面的，不是的。
A New Testament mystery is a mystery that was obscure in the Old Testament but has been fully revealed in the New.
新约讲到的奥秘呢，是指着旧约隐藏的那个部分，但是呢，在新约全然显明出来的。那个实体
Let's look at one. Ephesians chapter 3.
以弗所书三章
Ephesians chapter 3. And.Verse 1. Yeah, we want to read down to verse 1 to 6, if we could read around.
Okay. 我们顺序读一下一人一节以弗所书的三章一节到六节。因此我保罗为你们外邦人做了基督耶稣被囚的替你们祈祷。
量地你们曾听见神赐恩给我将关切你们的职分托付我。用启示使我知道福音的奥秘，正如我以前略略写过的。
你们念了，就能晓得我深知基督的奥秘。
这奥秘在以前的时代没有多少人知道，像如今借着圣灵启示他的圣使徒和先知一样。
这奥秘就是外邦人在基督耶稣里，借着福音得以同为后嗣，同为义体，同蒙应许。
Amen.
So, the word mystery is used three times there.
你看奥秘这个词啊用了三次。
The first time is in verse 3.
第一次三节，第三节。
This mystery was made known by revelation to the Apostle Paul.
用启示使我知道福音的奥秘。
So that's the first thing.
第一次。
The Holy Spirit revealed to the apostle who wrote it down. That's how we got the scriptures.
所以是圣灵的感动，圣徒们写下这些话，这就是我们得着圣经了。
And not only that, he explains the second time it's mentioned in verse 4.
第二个呢，就是第四节。
He had insight. The Holy Spirit revealed this mystery of Christ.
那圣灵呢也深知藏在基督里的奥秘。
Now that was in verse 5, it says it, that this mystery was not made known to men in other generations.
这奥秘在以前的世代没有人知道。
As it has been now revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets.
像如今借着圣灵启示他的圣使徒和先知一样。
So it was...We read that it wasn't known before, it was revealed by revelation of the Holy Spirit, and then he explains in verse 6 what that mystery was.
所以以前不知道，现在呢启示了，然后在第六节呢就告诉我们这到底什么意思。
That through the gospel, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs with Israel, members together of one body,And sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ.
那这奥秘就是外邦人在基督耶稣里借着福音，同为后嗣，同为一体，同盟应许。
You see, way back in the Garden of Eden.
所以回到最初的伊甸园。
There was a promise made that the seed of the woman would destroy the serpent's seed. That God would overcome evil.
会有一个应许啊，给出来，就是女人的后裔会要击打蛇的后裔，会得胜。
And that mystery continues all the way through the Old Testament. You come to Abraham.
然后这个奥秘呢，就一直延续在旧约里。哎，来了亚伯拉罕了。
He said, Abraham, because you believe me, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars in the heaven, as the sands on the earth.
神给亚伯拉罕的应许是呢，哎，因为你信我，我会使你的后裔啊，像天上的星星、海边的沙那么多。
And all peoples of the earth are going to be blessed because of you.
天下的万族都会因你而得福。
So God chose one nation, the children of Israel.
神选了一族的人，就是以色列。
And the Gentiles, they were more or less cut out of God's promises.
那外邦人呢？因此好像在神的应许上就没份了。
What would happen to the Gentiles?
那外邦人怎么办呢
？Well, it was a mystery. God was working.
但这就是个奥秘了，神正在做。
When he sent his son into the world.He offered the kingdom to Israel.
所以当他差他的圣子到地上的时候呢，他把这国度先提供给以色列的。
He offered himself as the king of Israel, but they refused him.
他说我就是以色列的王，但以色列人拒绝。
But the purpose was that in the nation refusing him and killing him, it opened the door to the whole world, this great mystery.
但是因着以色列拒绝这个门就向全世界敞开了，这就是那奥秘了。
And that's what he's talking about here, that the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles will be heirs together with Israel and members of one body, God bringing all the Gentiles and Jews into one body.
这就是第六节想说的，就因为我们外邦人在耶稣基督里有这个福音，就成为一体了。
Out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every family,
万族万方万国万民
God's grace is opened up to everyone.
神的恩典就此向每一个人打开
So it was hidden in the Old Testament.
这个在旧约是隐藏的
And it wasn't revealed. So that's something there. The mystery.
这个就是奥秘的意思，圣经新约讲到。
Just had a quick look at that. Now what we want to do is go back to where we ended off last week, and you've forgotten, but I haven't, because I wrote it down.
我们要回到上周停的那个点啊，大家还记得吗？我反正记下来了。
Well, I didn't actually write it down, but I made a really strong mental note in my mind.
Before we go back, may I say one
Sure.
thing? It's more a comment than it is a question, but for Canadian Thanksgiving, I was with a Nigerian, a person from Zimbabwe, Tanzania, someone who grew up in Mexico, and myself, an American. We're all from different countries, and we all sang and praised the Lord together, prayed together, and loved each other. And it was just like what you read.
Amen.
Yeah. 就是他说他分享了一个小的见证，就是在过去刚刚过去这个感恩节呢，就他是和一群的人一起来献上对神的感恩。这群人呢，他是从美国来的，还有从尼日利亚来的，从墨西哥来的，反正都是全世界不同地方，但是呢，他们在做一个事情，就是感恩耶稣基督的恩典，这就完全印证了这句话是真的，同为一体，同为后嗣，同蒙应许。
Yeah, I find it a great privilege to meet Christians from many different countries.
我从许许多多国家遇见许许多多特别好的弟兄姊妹。
In most ways, I feel closer to my spiritual brothers and sisters than to my own natural brothers and sisters.
在我所有的方面，
我
离我属灵的弟兄姊妹啊，远比我肉身的那些亲人呢要近得多。
It is a wonderful thing.
啊，这是个很美好的事。
The gospel fits the human heart.
因为福音是满足了人心的。
And it can adapt itself to any culture and any place in the world.
所以它是超越任何的地域和文化之限的。
It's universal.
它是属普世的，就是超越民族、超越的国界。
In China, the Christianity is looked upon as being a Western religion.
所以在中国呢，可能基督教被看作是一个西方的宗教。
But It didn't have its origins in the West.
但事实上，基督教也不是从西方出来的。
The when the it took hold in the West.
就是它是在这个西方呢，它开始成长的，就是变得越来越影响大。
Now I'm going to say something today. There are no Englishmen here, is there?
这里面英国人啊。
Oh, well, you're far removed from that. But when the gospel first came to England, they were savages.
所以当福音刚刚到英国的时候呢，那是蛮荒之地。
The gospel came to England in the first century.
因为福音是第一世纪就传到英国附近。
And the Romans,
一直往北传。
It was through some of the great preachers of that first century that are long, we don't know who they are, but they found a foothold in England.
所以我们不知道是谁，那些伟大的工人哈，在初代教会的，那他们把福音传到现在英国这块地方，这个地方就开始站住了。
What happened there was to give you an idea of what it was like, the Romans, who considered themselves to be very civilized, when they first came to England, one of them wrote back home and said that the English made the ugliest and stupidest slaves.
所以呢，当时的世界的中心在哪呢？世界的中心在罗马，是罗马帝国啊。所以呢，他们认为他们是文明的源头，所以他们被派到那个英国去的这些一些官员呢，写信回来说，哎呀，这个地方的人太野蛮了，对，太不开化了啊。
Now that probably was said without without any without any prejudice. He just that was a fact of life.
他可能没有任何的偏见，他只是描述了当时英国这块地方的景况就是这样。
But the gospel transformed those many of those people.
但是福音呢，却改变了所有当地的人。
And we can be thankful that the gospel came spread through the world, through that area of the country, through Europe and from Europe and Britain.
所以我们要很感恩呢，福音就这么传开了。现在欧洲，然后在英国，然后在世界各地。
So it's a lovely thing, as I say, we're just collecting it, the thoughts together to meet people from every land who have received the Lord Jesus into one family.
所以我们也就再一次印证这样的一个真理，说我们是在全世界各地的人同在一个肢体里，同为一体。
Now we were sidetracked by your comment there, which was a good comment. Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry at all.
这是很好的一个评论啊，非常好。
We last week we left off. We were talking about another principle in Scripture of synthesis.
所以上周我们停的这个点呢，就是已经解经这个合一的原则。
Scripture builds on different concepts, and you'll find a certain doctrine traced right from beginning to the end of Scripture.
所以你会看见一些的这个经文呢，它体现的这个神学的真理呢，它会贯穿整个圣经的，它不只单单在一个地方出现。
Like doctrine will be introduced right in the Garden of Eden, the doctrine of substitution.
比方说替代代赎的这个概念呢，在创世纪就出来了。
The purposes of God in salvation, you can trace it all through the Scripture.
然后救恩的这个目的呢，哎，神就在整个圣经里，他每个地方他都提出来。
And even though there's almost 40 different authors that wrote the Bible,
即便圣经的作者有40个之多。
Written over a period of about 1,300 years.
前后差了是1300年写成的。
Yet the themes all fit together just like a hand and glove.
但是主题却完全的吻合，就像一个手套织起来那么合一一样。
And as you begin to trace, like we began tracing the concept of substitution and redemption. Salvation.
上周我们就在追这个主线，就是代赎的主线，从创世纪开始追踪。
Not only are these doctrines the same, consistent through Scripture.
然后这样的一个主题呢，它是很一致的，不断的在不同的书卷里出现。
But we see that the doctrines are progressive; they build as you go through the Scripture.
而且它还有一个特点呢。它不但重复出现，它会启示越来越多，所以它是渐进往上的，让你越来越清楚。
From their introduction in the book of Genesis, which is called the seed plot of the Bible.
那从创世纪开始，创世纪在整本圣经就像什么？就像一个种子，它很多的真理呢，只讲开始讲。
It's where all the doctrine, the seeds of the doctrine are planted in the first book of the Bible, and you can trace those right through to their fruition.In the book of Revelation.
很多的神学真理它是在创世纪呢就像一个种子种下去，然后在后面的书卷里呢，你慢慢看见它变成一个果实，就很清楚的图景就展现出来了。
We've been looking at the subject of the sacrificial lamb.
比方说替代代赎的羔羊这样的一个概念。
And there the lamb was slain, the sheep, the sacrificial animal was slain to give a covering for our first parents after they had sinned.
那神呢，为了遮我们的最初的祖先亚当夏娃的遮羞呢，神就杀了一只羊啊，用那个羊皮遮盖他们。
And we're going to trace that concept right through the scriptures.
那我们会追这个概念呢。
But I'll take you to the last picture.
整本圣经，那我们看最后一个图像。
Where we see that sacrificial lamb upon the throne.
那就是我们看到神的羔羊在宝座上。
From being taking the place of the sinner, to being seated at the right hand of power and majesty.
那他本来是站在罪人的位置为我们死了，现在是坐在至高神的右边为我们代求。
We're going to spend the rest of the morning after the break on that.
我们先休息一下，我们之后的时间我们就全部会花在这个主题上。
But just one more thought before we break.
我们休息之前呢，再讲一个点。
And it also these doctrines they trace a number of doctrines. I mentioned like the scriptures are the seed plot of the Bible. What about the enemy of God?
那关于神的敌人怎么样呢？如果只是圣经是神的真理的种子的话，那神的敌人怎么样？
You see that theme going through the scriptures of the enemy of God attacking God.Through his people, persecution and so on, all through the scriptures.
所以你会看见呢，敌人啊，神的敌人也在整本圣经里，他不停的在攻击神呢、啊，就是起起伏伏。
And he was a particular, the Lord Jesus, when he was incarnate, and his incarnation was a particular target of the evil one.
而耶稣基督呢，却是那个特别的目标啊，神攻敌人攻击特别的目标。
But he bound up the evil one.
但他却捆绑了仇敌。
He cast out demons.
他把恶者呢扔出去了。
And then in the book of Revelation, finally you see the end, where he's cast out of heaven to the earth. And then he is in anger. He gathers a great rebellion against God on earth, the last battle on earth, Armageddon. Then he's taken.Thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, he's released for a while, and then he's cast into the lake of fire. So you see the beginning and the end of God's enemy, his adversary.
所以我们刚才一直在讲的就是神的真理，它一个不断演进到最后，耶稣基督坐在宝座右边的这么一个形象。同时呢，还有一条辅线，就是仇敌啊，从一开始就在攻击。然后仇敌的下场是什么呢？到最后。启示录讲到呢，他被驱逐出天堂，那他气愤愤的到地上来，那他纠集了一大群的帮凶，那他们最后有一场特别大的征战，我们叫做哈米吉多顿的征战，然后呢，仇敌被击败了，然后被关到这个无底坑中，最后暂时放出来的千禧年之后呢，就永永远远在火湖里了，所以你会看见这样的一个线呢。也是开始他在诱惑亚当夏娃，最后他的结局，神也告诉我们是完全两个不同的方向。
So after the break, we'll take a look at this doctrine of redemption, of salvation, as it progresses through the stories of the Old Testament, and then comes into the New Testament where the Lamb of God Himself is revealed.
所以这样的一个这里呢，我们会在下一场里面，我们详细解，就从旧约开始，它不停的渐进式启示更多直到让我们看见全然的那个救赎代偿的那一位是谁。
And that the purpose is, of course, is that when we read the scriptures, we might be able to look for little pictures of Christ in the Old Testament and explained in the New.
那这样的话呢，我们就可以知道，读旧约可以让我们在里面找到耶稣基督，这就是我们读旧约的一个很好的钥匙了。
So what it does, it adds dimensions.
它会增加我们理解旧约的一个维度哈。
So what do you want to do?
好，我们先停在这，我们做一个结束的祷告。我们在天上的父啊，谢谢您赐给我们这宝贵的话语，也求您帮助我们，带领我们洁净我们一会儿的饮食谢谢您赐给我们这地上的饮食，也祝福我们一会儿继续学习的时间，祷告奉主耶稣基督的名，阿门。天，我们做一个开始的祷告。
Father, we again come to you as needy people, Lord.
主啊，我们再一次来到您面前，因为我们是有需要的人。
We realize that without you, we can do nothing.
因为我们意识到没有您，我们真的什么也做不了。
And so, Lord, we would pray that we might be able to glorify you in our walk, here on earth, just like your son glorified you when he was here on earth.
主啊，我们盼望我们在这地上行走的时候，能够荣耀您的名，就如同您的圣子耶稣在地上所行的一样。
And he was, as he walked, he was obedient to your word.
因为当他在地上行走时，他就顺服您的话语。
So Lord, we pray that we might catch a glimpse of the motions of the Son of God as he went through the earth, that we might catch that in our own spirits.
主啊，我们盼望我们能够瞥见耶稣基督在地上行走时候那一脚的样子，能让这样的形象活在我们里面。
That we might walk worthy of that great salvation that you've called us to.
也能够让我们所行的配得您所为我们预备的这救恩。
Now bless us further, Lord, as we continue to look into your word, we pray in Jesus' name.
也求您继续的祝福我们，当我们今天继续查考您话语的时候，祷告奉主耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
We are living in very dangerous times at this time for the history of mankind, but very exciting times too.
所以我们今天活着的世代啊，可能是属灵上最危险的一个世代，也是最令人激动的世代。
Never has the knowledge of God been so available to the world as it has been these days.
在人的历史上，从来没有过像今天这样神的话语呢，能够如此的方便的能够得着和接近。如果你愿意，就可以看见。
You know that in different parts of the world, they think Christianity, as our brother was saying, is a Western religion. And the fact is, it started where God started the creation of mankind.And it will end there as well. And it was with the Jewish people, the Jewish fathers, that followed the real, true God through the generations and generations and generations of people are listed here in the Old Testament that followed the real, true God.
所以我们今天可能会说，哎，基督教是西方的宗教，其实并不是。那最初的起源就是在伊甸园，也就是。开始的地方结束的地方都在那儿。那在那里呢有一个民族就是以色列啊，那他们是历世历代都在敬拜这唯一的真神，就是上帝，那个是真正的源头。
All the other families that didn't follow the real true God, they invented their own God, what they thought God should be, what his character should be, what his personality should beHow he should respond to mankind, what he should be doing.
所以那一切没有真神的民族呢，他们就会发明自己的神，那他们就想象这个神，然后想象他的本性是什么，特点是什么，怎么跟这个神交流，这个是假神的来历。
And even to the extent that they think that they, God should be thinking like they are thinking.
所以一般到最后呢，就会到一个程度，人会所设想的神就跟人自己这样的一个行为方式。
But God is outside of this system of things. His wisdom and his holiness is far beyond the reaches of man. That we could say that you know we could be like God. We can't be, but we want to understand what He's like. We can't be God.Okay, we can't be like God. We are children of God, and we learn about our Father in heaven, but we can't be God. He is unique, just like we are unique. Every one of us is very different. I can't be you, and you cannot be me, and we can't be God.
所以我们是不能跟神那样，神是超越我们现在认知的这个体系的。所以当我们用在这个体系里罪恶的思想去想神的形象的时候，我们是不能认识神的。神是要他自己启示给我们，他是从外面光照进来启示我们，我们才能够认识他。他是很独特的，我们靠着自己败坏的思想是没办法从自己的角度去认识他。他可以告诉我们他是谁。
And you know something, when we talk about the mysteries of God, they're not so mystery to the person that knows God. As I was telling our sister that during the break, that when we make a new friend, when we spend more time with our friend, we get to know our friend. But if we don't spend time with our friend, that friend is a mystery to us. We don't know what that friend does every day. We don't know their sleeping habits, their thinking habits, their doing habits, their beliefs. We don't know much about that person, even though we call them our friend. But if we really want to know our friend, we must spend a lot of time. And we must spend a lot of time with God our Father, because we're going to spend eternity with Him. We want to know what He's like. We want to know how He thinks. We want to know His character and His personality.
所以神就跟我们的朋友是一样，当我们说哎，我们认识一个朋友，我们可能是非常浅的，我们也不知道他的习性是什么，他的心是怎样的，他的生活方式是怎样的，他的本性是什么，我们都不知道。那当我们要知道的时候，我们总是要花时间去了解他啊，跟他生活，跟他认识他，知道他的人是什么样的一个人。神也是这样的，我们要花时间去认识这个我们会在永恒里与他一直相处的神呢。
We were just talking in the break that the many governments are all over the world that are persecuting the Christians and they don't like the Christians. But you know, our way of thinking, like maybe is the same way that God thinks, because we get his thinking from, we get our thinking from God. That Christians are law-abiding citizens. Christians only do good for the country. The Christians do not go and hold demonstrations. They pay their taxes. They obey the government. They're good people. Why is the government persecuting the Christians, good people?
所以我们看见世上呢有很多这个基督徒受逼迫的例子啊，不单单的一个国家。满地都是，但是你会发现呢，基督徒是一群特别守法的公民啊。那他们付自己的税，他们也不与人相争，他们守政府的法律，那他们做一切本来没有理由去逼迫他们的事情啊。
And maybe we can just read a portion of the Lord's word in Romans.
我们可以读一段罗马书的话。
Romans chapter one.
罗马书一章。
And let's read from 18 to 25, 26.
一节到二十六节。罗马书一章一节到二十六节。原来神的愤怒从天上。哦，十八节到二十六节，对，十八节。一章十八节到二十六节。原来神的愤怒从天上显明在一切不前不义的人身上，就是那些行不义阻挡真理的人。神的事情人所能知道的原显明在人心里，因为神已经给他们显明，自从造天地以来，神的永能和神性是明明可知的，虽是眼不能见，但借着所造之物就可以晓得，叫人无可推诿。因为他们虽然知道神，却不当作神荣耀他，也不感谢他，他们的思念变为虚妄，无知的心就昏暗了，自称为聪明反成了愚拙，将不能朽坏之神的荣耀变为偶像，仿佛必朽坏的人和飞禽走兽昆虫的样式。所以神任凭他们逞着心里的情欲行污秽的事，以致彼此玷辱自己的身体。他们将神的真实变成虚谎，去敬拜侍奉受造之物，不敬奉那造物的主。主乃是可称颂的，直到永远。阿们。
And verse 28 says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. You know, knowledge in the world comes and goes. What was true in the old days is not true anymore. It's a changing world. But the knowledge of God never changes. It never changes because God never changes.
所以我们发现了世界的事情呢，他的认知是会变的。古代所认同的东西今天可能开始不认同，但是神是从来不变的，他启示的他只会往上加，他后面的也是真的，前面的也是真的，他永远不会变的。
So if man does not want to retain God in his knowledge, in other words, you know, people write books and that. Those books come and they go. But the knowledge stays. If you want to retain the knowledge about God, you will keep it into your memory. You will tell your children about it. And they will tell their children, and they will tell their children. But if you don't want to keep the knowledge of God in your memory, you do not. You will not pass it on to your children and their children and their children. That will disappear, that knowledge of God. And it won't be of any value at all.
对，所以世界的东西呢，你是很难做到一直往下传啊，因为这本书有了，可能就过去了，大家把它忘了，下面后面新的东西又来了。但是神的真理它是不变的，它是一代一代，因为你知道它是真理，你就愿意告诉自己的孩子，你的孩子又会愿意告诉他的孩子，这个它是一直是不变，是永恒的。
That's why when Christ died on the cross.And he rose again third day, and he talked to his disciples, and he gave them this great commission. He says, I want you to go and tell the whole world, to all four corners of the world, this message here, that God loves them, and he sent his son Jesus to die for their sins.
这就为什么耶稣死在十架上三天后复活，然后他升天之前把大使命给到门徒们，说你们去啊，去使万国万民做我的门徒，把这好消息，就是耶稣神爱世人的好消息告诉世界。
Now the knowledge of Christ is all over the world. We've got this wonderful technology of the computers, the internet, the TV, the radio, all this communication.
现在认识耶稣基督的知识啊充斥了全世界，那我们今天的媒体也可以做到，比如说手机啊，这种 APP 啊，也能做到使任何的时候你想要去了解都能够看得见。
And man is without excuse. They can't say when they come face to face with God in judgment, they can't make an excuse and say I never heard.
所以人会没有借口啊，就他来到神的面前，他不能说我没有听过基督，我读不到圣经。
God says that broad is the way that leadeth to death and to destruction, but narrow is the way to life eternal.
圣经说呢，通向死亡的那门是宽的啊，通向永生的那门是窄的。
That's why I say we're living in dangerous times because there are so many religions in the world. Choose me, choose me, choose me. I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right.And people get confused. Which way should they turn?
所以今天为什么是也是最危险的一个时代呢？因为太多的各种各样的宗教了。这些宗教都说选我，选我，选我，我是对的，我是对的，我是对的。所以人们会很糊涂，到底什么才是真的对的
？But if you stick to the truth, you will not go wrong. You will not go off on a different path, because that's what happens when people go.Away from the Word of God, they start adding their own intellectual or other people's intellectual into their way of thinking. And it's wrong, because that way of thinking is the thinking of the world. The Lord says, separate yourself from the world. That doesn't mean to separate ourselves from people. God loves people. But it's the ways of the world. Separate yourself from the ways of the world. The ways of the world are corrupt and they're evil.He said, "Come out of them, my people."
但是只要你坚持回到圣经，回到神的话呢，你就知道什么是对的。所以这就是为什么，神让我们从世界分离出来。他不是说让我们从人里面分离出来，因为神爱世人，而是呢，他让我们从世界的这个教导里、话语里分出来。你回到神的话，你知道什么是真的。他说的那些他存不住的话，你就不要受他影响。
I just want to tell you a story like Eric was telling about the wolf that he saw. When I was a young boy, I was only in grade one or grade two. I think maybe I was 8 years old or 7 years old. We lived out in the jungles on Vancouver Island. And a bus picked me up from the highway to go to school, to take me to school. And I would have to walk the road from the place where we lived to the highway was quite a long distance. And like a little boy, you know, sometimes my mother took me to the road to catch the bus. And when I got off in the afternoon, the bus let me off at the highway. I would walk home from there by myself because it was daylight and it was not so dangerous. There was bears around there. There was cougars. It was jungle, you know. It was wild animals.
所以他说他说说一个故事。他说他小的时候呢是在温华岛上啊住着，然后他去上学呢。七八岁的时候呢，他得在高速公路上坐个公交车啊。然后呢，他们家住的地方离那个高速公路上那个站呢还有点远，走过去还走挺远。然后呢那一块呢，其实人烟不是太多了，然后真的有野生动物的，熊啊什么的。然后有的时候他妈妈会送他去啊，但是他放了学，在下了车以后呢，他有时候得自己走回来，还是有危险的。
One day when I got off the bus and I was walking home, at a distance, I saw this thing that looked like a bear. I was just a little boy.
然后呢，有一天他下了车以后呢，远远他看了，好像是一只熊啊。
There are bears up here.
There's nobody around. But I'm just a little boy.
Oh, lots and lots of bears.
Lots of bears?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like big bears?
Not in the city, Joanna, but
I'm not in the city. Don't be afraid. Even in West Vancouver, there are bears there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the North Shore, Coquitlam.
Yeah, because there's jungle there. That's their habitat.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, I thought from a long distance, because the road was quite a long road, it was winding too.And I thought that was a bear. And I didn't know, should I go back? There's nobody back there. Where can I go? So I walked a little bit farther, and I got closer and closer. As I got closer, my vision could see that this was not a bear. This was my sister. She was coming to get me. Okay? So...As we see this Bible, the Word of God, from a distance, it's not so clear to us. But as we get closer and closer to God, then we realize the truth. Okay? But from a distance, it looks very, very strange to us. It looks very mysterious to us.
他就说呢，他就用这个例子了。他就说呢，就像 Eric 说的刚才那个故事很像的。他说他特别害怕嘛，因为每天，所以他特别担心看见熊，所以远远他觉得是头熊，然后他也不知道该往后退呢还是往前进，因为往后退也没有地方可退，因为没有人，高速公路上的一个站，然后他就决定往前走，越走越近呢，发现哦，原来不是一头熊，是他姐姐来接他，所以就随着他这个往前走的，越往前走呢，他看得越清楚呢，这本相才会显明，所以我们当不认识神的时候，你远远的看这本圣经呢，你的理解是。很多时候是产生很大的偏差，是把一个姐姐看头熊的偏差。
Okay, let me continue on.
So we.I'd like to now just trace one of the doctrines right through the Bible, and we had a start last week, and it's the doctrine of salvation by blood.
所以我们从上一周开始就已经开始这个训练了，就是从头到底我们来查一个主线，就是借着血来救赎的这个救恩的真理。
There is a principle in Scripture.
圣经里有这么一个原则。
And that principle is that our lives are forfeit by sin.
那这个原则就是我们的生命啊是被罪给吞没了。
Remember what it said to Adam, in the day that you eat that fruit of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die.
神跟亚当说呢，你吃那棵树的果子，吃的日子必定死。
Now, in the day that they ate of that fruit, they began the process of physical dying.
当他们吃了那个果子那一天开始呢，他们物理的死亡就开始倒计时了。
But immediately when they ate of that fruit and disobeyed God, they died spiritually. The connection was broken.
但同样，他吃果子的那一刻呢，他属灵的分离啊，死啊，就已经开始了，就已经是事实了。
Death speaks of separation.
所以死呢，在灵里的意思就是分离。
And God's law, God's holy law requires life, a life taken because of sin.
所以神圣洁的律法呢，是因着罪啊，要来的审判是要用生命来偿的。
We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
所以我们都犯了罪，亏缺了神的荣耀。
The wages of sin is death.
罪的代价就是死。
So, mankind is like our parents in the Garden of Eden. They're there. They realize suddenly they're naked. They have no covering.
所以就像我们的先祖亚当夏娃一样，他们吃完以后突然间发现他们是赤身露体。
Now that's a picture really of mankind in his fallen state.
这就是一个形象的比喻，人在一个堕落的状态下就是这个状态。
He's naked in the sight of God, absolutely.
就在神的眼光中呢，我们就是赤身露体。
Now they made fig leaves, a temporary cover.
他们就搞了一些无花果叶子，来暂时盖一下。
That's like mankind with religion. They try to cover themselves up so that God can't see that they are sinners.
那他们自己把自己盖住，哎，让神看不见他们是罪人。
But it's no good.
但这个没有用。
It's no good at all.
完全没有用。
So God had to provide them with a covering.
所以神需要提供他们一个遮盖。
And that covering required a life.
这样的遮盖是需要生命的代价。
His law is a life for a life.
所以他们的律啊，神的律就是以生命换生命。
Now that covering of that sacrifice starts a process of a picture of salvation by blood, by a life given for another, and it goes right through the whole Bible.
所以从这时候开始，这样的一个主题，以血来偿罪的这个主题呢，就一直延续到圣经后面。
We see it in the very next chapter, as a matter of fact.
啊，那我们看第二个后面之后的一章。
Where the first two men born on earth, Cain and Abel.
两个人呢开始在地上出生了，两个儿子该隐和亚伯。
They want to worship God. They want to approach God.
他们想敬拜神，来到神面前。
How can they approach God?
他们怎么接近神呢？
Cain thought that he could approach God with all his good works that he had made. He brought an offering of the fruit of the ground.
该隐呢认为他可以用自己一切好的行为，他田产最好的田产来到神面前。
But Abel understood that you can't approach God that way.
所以亚伯知道你不能这么接近神。
Abel understood that he was a sinner.
亚伯意识到呢，他是个罪人。
And that his life was forfeit because of that.
那他的生命呢，因着这个事情而被罪吞没了。
And he understood that the only way that he could approach God in a righteous way is if a substitute gives its life. And then he can approach God on the basis of that life that had been sacrificed.
那他知道他的生命要一个代偿了，才能够恢复，需要以公义的审判得着罪的代价。
Now God accepted Abel's offering.
那神就悦纳了亚伯的祭物。
But he rejected Cain.
但神拒绝了该隐。
Because we read in the scriptures, all our righteousness is like filthy rags.
因为圣经告诉我们呢，我们所有的义啊，在神眼里都是肮脏的抹布。
Everything that we try to approve ourselves to God with is of no value whatsoever.
我们想让神来接纳我们的一切的行为，在神眼里都没有意义。
God requires a sacrifice.
因为神需要的是一个献祭的祭物。
And we saw that in, as we go along in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 22.
然后我们就往后看呢，看到创世纪的二十二章了。
And we saw that, didn't we?
对，我们看见了，不是吗？
Where God tells Abraham to sacrifice his only son, whom he loved.
所以你会看见神要亚伯拉罕去献上他的唯一的儿子，他所爱的。
Verse 2, he says here, God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you of.
第二节神说，你带着你的儿子，就是你独生的儿子，你所爱的以撒，我摩利亚地去，在我所指示你的山上把他献为燔祭。
Now very quickly, what this means, it was a test for Abraham, verse 1.
那我们知道在第一节，这显明这是对亚伯拉罕的一个试验。
Now you may be familiar with the story, we won't take time to read the whole story, but I'll tell it very quickly.
那你可能熟悉这个故事啊，我们不会全部读，我们很快讲。
Abraham had left Ur of the Chaldees, to go to a land that he was only told by God about, a land of promise.
所以亚伯拉罕呢，离开他原来的家乡乌尔，要去到一个地方，只有神告诉他是在哪里。
He said, "If you, Abraham, you go to that land, I'll make you a great nation. I'll make you a great nation."
神说亚伯拉罕，你去那个地方呢，我就使你成为大国。
All the peoples of the earth will be blessed because of you.
他说全地的人都会因着你而蒙福。
And the land.Later on, he says, "Arise, look at this land. It's all going to be yours and your descendants."
那神就指着全迦南地说，这里全都是你的以后，那都是你和你后裔。
And Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness.
亚伯拉罕信神，神就算作他的义了。
By faith.
借着信心的。
Now, how would this be accomplished?
这怎么成就呢？
It wouldn't be accomplished in Abraham's day. He'd never see the promises.
那不能是借着亚伯拉罕的，因为亚伯拉罕到死也没有见到这个成就。
It would only come through his seed.
也只能是从他的子孙出来。
And so there was a problem.
现在有个问题。
His wife Sarah was barren.
他的妻子萨拉呢不能生育。
She couldn't have any children.
没有孩子。
Now Sarah had a handmaid and she gave him to Abraham to raise up a son, an adopted son, as it were, for Sarah.
那萨拉呢有个女仆啊，夏甲，她把这个夏甲给亚伯拉罕做妾呢，就生了孩子哈，那以这个孩子做养子给萨拉。
And Ishmael was born.
这时候这就是以实玛利了。
Of Sarah's handmaid.
是萨拉的使女生的。
But he wasn't the son of promise.
但他依然不是那应许之子。
God said, "No, Ishmael isn't going to be your seed."
那神说呢，不，以实玛利不是你那个要来的后裔。
Sarah is going to give birth to a son.
那萨拉要生一个孩子。
She is 90 years old.
那时候萨拉九十岁了。
She gave birth to Isaac.
她九十岁生了以撒。
This is the son of promise.
这就是应许之子。
He'd had to send Ishmael and his mother away from him.
所以神要把以实玛利和这个夏甲呀离开，让他们离开。
And he loved Ishmael.
当然神也很爱以实玛利。
But it was only going to, the promises would only be fulfilled through the son of promise.
因为呢只有应许之子才能够得着这一切的应许。
So God tests Abraham.
所以亚伯拉罕就在这试验。
He says, "Take your
神就试验亚伯拉罕。
Take your son, your only son."
他说把你独生的儿子献上。
There's only one son of promise.
只有这一个应许之子。
Whom you love.
就是你所爱的。
And go up on the mountain, I'll show you of, and I want you to sacrifice him there.
你到山上去啊，我要告诉你你在哪里把他献为祭。
So Abraham woke up early in the morning. cut the wood, prepared a fire.
亚伯拉罕呢，很清早起来砍了木头，准备了火。
He put the wood on the donkey and he took two young men with him and away they went with Isaac.
所以他把木头放在驴上，带了两个年轻人就一起去了。
And up the mountain they went.
啊，他们去了山上。
To the place where God had shown him.
去了那个神告他们要去的地方。
He built an altar there.
他在那建了个祭坛。
And he bound up Isaac, put him on the altar.
他把以撒呢绑在那个祭坛上。
And then with a sacrificial knife at the very throat of his son,
他要用这个刀呢要割开
the angel of the Lord stopped him.
以撒的喉咙的时候，以天使说停。
Abraham, Abraham.
亚伯拉罕，亚伯拉罕。
Don't lay your hand on that son, your son.
不要伤害这童子。
Now I know that you're believing.
我现在知道你是相信我的。
Abraham believed. We read in the New Testament, we read it last week.That God, if he killed his son, he believed God could raise him up from the dead.
那我们从新约读到呢，亚伯拉罕当时杀他儿子的时候，他是相信神是可以使儿子从死里复活的。
And there, he took his son. The knife cut the rope that was binding his son, rather than taking his life. It freed him.And as Isaac came down from off the altar, in a sense, it was a picture of the resurrection.
所以呢，他把以撒的手上的绳子割开了，而不是杀了以撒。当以撒从山上下来的时候呢，这就是一个复活的图景了。
And Abraham looked and he saw a ram caught by his horns in a thicket of thorns.
亚伯拉罕回头一看呢，看见一只山羊啊，它的脚呢被荆棘缠住了。
So here we see substitution on the altar. Instead of Isaac being offered, we see the ram taking Isaac's place.
所以我们看见这个替代了。以撒本来是要死的那个，现在呢是一只羊羔替他死了。
But we see in this another picture in the whole story.
那我们在这里呢看见另外一个图景啊，在整个故事里。
Really, it's a picture, a story within a story.
这是一个故事里的故事了。
We see God the Father taking His only Son up the mountain.
我们看见圣父呢，把他的独一的儿子带到山上。
There we see Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ.
以撒就是那预表啊，预表的主耶稣基督。
When they left the bottom of the mountain to ascend the hill of God, Abraham put the wood on Isaac.
所以当他们来到山脚下的时候呢，亚伯拉罕把木头啊，要烧祭物的木头呢，放在以撒的身上。
And Isaac had to carry that heavy load up to the very peak.
所以以撒呢，必须得扛着这特别重的重担爬山。
The very thing that would be the fuel to consume him completely.
那这样的一个木材呢，本来是要用来烧他自己。
Did he understand what he was doing?
他知不知道他在做什么呢
？He said, "Father," he said, "Here am I, my son."
他知不知道呢？他知道，因为他问父啊，这个。亚伯拉罕说：“我在这里。”
Look what we see there.
我们看一下。
Verse 7, that's correct. He said, "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?"
第七节说呢，请看，火与柴都有了，但燔祭的羊羔在哪里呢？
Abraham answered, "God Himself will provide." The lamb for the burnt offering.
第八节，亚伯拉罕说：“我儿，神必自己预备做燔祭的羊羔。”
And the two went together.
然后他们二人就同行了。
The Isaac understood the purposes of that climb to the mountain. They went two of them together.
所以以撒是明白啊，他们两人同行的时候，他明白这一行的目的是什么。
We think of the life of the Lord Jesus. his life was bound to the Father's will.
我们想一想耶稣基督的一生啊，他也是完全执行父神的旨意。
We might say Jesus and the Father went the two of them together to that place on Calvary, the place of the altar of sacrifice.
我们也可以说呢，耶稣基督和天父啊，在那一天也是一同行前往那各个他山的十字架钉死他的地方。
When they came to that altar, how could an old man bind a youth except the youth be willing to be bound?
那来到这祭坛前，一个老人怎么能够绑一个年轻人呢？除非这个年轻人愿意。
The Lord Jesus in Hebrews said, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God.
所以耶稣基督说呢，我愿意执行父神的旨意啊。他在希伯来书说。
And they went two of them together.
然后他们俩就同行了，在那一天父神和耶稣也是同行。
And so on top of that hill, the Lord Jesus, the hill of Calvary,It's the greatest mountain in the world.
在那一天，耶稣基督在各个他山上，这座山就成了世上最著名的山，最伟大的山。
In terms of geography, it's not very much.
那地理上来说，这不是一座突出的山。
But in terms of the spiritual geography, it's the greatest place upon the earth.
如果从属灵上说，这就是全地最重要的地方。
It was there that.Time and eternity would meet.
因为在那里时间和永恒啊就相遇了。
Where sin and the Savior would be made one.
因为在那里呢，罪和救主啊都成为一了。
And the sacrifice would be made there on top of Mount Calvary.
那献祭会在那里发生。
Now that mountain, as it was called Mount Moriah.
所以这座山呢会被称为摩利亚山。
More than 400 years later, Solomon would erect a temple there.
差不多四百多年以后呢，超过四百年啊，就是所罗门呢会在那里建一座圣殿。
In Abraham's time, it was far off.
亚伯拉罕的时代呢，在建圣殿的时候已经久远了。
But the Lord had said to the children of Israel, when you come into the land, I'm going to show you a place where I'm going to put my name, and that would be there on Mount Calvary, on Moriah.
所以神告诉以色列人说呢，我会在这里啊显明我的名啊，这就是在摩利亚山上，也就是在圣殿上。
Now, in Romans 8:32,
在罗马书的八章三十二节。
The Old Testament picture there, the Lord didn't allow Abraham to kill Isaac, did he?
神并不允许亚伯拉罕杀他的儿子，不是吗？
Verse 31 of chapter 8, Romans 8.
罗马书八章三十一节。
What then shall we say in response to this?If God is for us, who can be against us?
神若帮助我们，谁能抵挡我们呢？
Here we see what the Old Testament looked forward to.
这里我们看见的旧约是看见的，就是向远处看的这么一个场景。
These were just pictures.
这只是一个图景。
It says here in verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, Isaac was spared, he spared Abraham's son, didn't he?
神既不爱惜自己的儿子为我们众人舍了，但是以撒是爱惜的，对吧？就是神没有让他死。
But the Lord Jesus was not spared.
但耶稣神就没有。
But he gave him up for us all. That sacrifice was made there in on the Mount Moriah by Abraham was just a picture of what was to come, wasn't it?
所以那样的一个献祭，亚伯拉罕在摩利亚山上要做的献祭，就是耶稣基督要来的这么一个预表，一模一样的。
So as you read the Old Testament, you see these pictures. The Old Testament pictures are illustrations of New Testament truth.
所以旧约都是这样的一个预表，那旧约的预表呢，都是在指向新约的实体真理。
So, what did Abraham call the place of the Mount Moriah? What did he call that place?
亚伯拉罕怎么称这摩利亚山呢？他怎么叫的？
This is a test.
这是一个试验。
Good student. Can you say, no, only you'll get A if you can say it in Mandarin.
I can't.
He said, 在亚伯拉罕心里呢，那是做什么山？就是耶和华的山必有预备，就有预备的山。
The Lord will provide.
神必预备，神必预备。
It's a picture of God's provision for mankind, guilty.
这就是一个形象，神会给罪人预备好救恩，就是这么一个形象。
He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? The provision.
神既不爱惜自己的儿子为我们众人舍了，岂不也把万物和他一同白白的赐给我们吗？这就是一位给予的神。
Not only the provision there is much larger than just salvation.
所以不单是供应啊，更有救恩呢，比这个供应的意义更大。
It's all the things that accompany salvation.
以及因着救恩而来一切附属给我们的。
Things like sonship, adoption.
那比方说呢，儿子的名分。
Not only are we saved.But we are heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ.
我们不但得救了，我们还是和耶稣一同继承神的产业。
So God will He not freely give us all things as a right?
所以这里说，神岂不把万物都白白给我们吗？
In not sparing His Son, we have obtained all things through that.With him, if he would give his very best for us, all that we have in Christ is made for us, is given to us. All that is in Christ, rather, is given to us.
所有在基督里的都是他要给我们，而且是借着基督给我们的。怎么显明呢？就是他把爱子基督都舍了，就把万物都给我们。
Now, briefly, we'd like to look at one other.And it's a familiar one, which we only need to spend a few minutes on.
也是一个很熟悉的一段。
And that's found in Exodus chapter 12. It was called the Passover.
那就是出埃及记的十二章了，我们管它叫呢逾越节。
You know the story. Israel are slaves in Egypt.
你们都知道这个故事啊，那。以色列人呢是埃及的奴隶了。
There's a great king who keeps them under his power.
有一个埃及的法老呢，用强权把他们留下。
And Pharaoh is like a type of Satan who has the whole human race as his slaves.
那法老呢就有一点像是撒旦的预表，把整个人呢都放在他的奴隶下面。
How will God deliver His people.
神怎么样把他的孩子民救出来呢？
He will do that through judgment.
他会通过审判来救。
Because He said, "Now, I want you." The instructions are given in chapter 12. The whole community, verse 3.Of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. And then down in verse 6, We take care of those lambs until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight.
所以十二章的从一节开始到第六节，我们看见它当中讲是就是要取一只羊，然后呢，隔了四天之后呢，到第六节十四号黄昏的时候呢，众会众要把羊羔都宰了。
And then the instructions are very plain. Verse 7, they are to take some of the blood, put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs.
第七节呢，就各家取点血，涂在吃羊羔的房屋左右的门框和门楣上。
In verse 12 and 13, on the same night I will pass, on the same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you in the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt.
因为那夜就十二节，我们要巡行埃及地，把埃及地一切投生的，无论是人是牲畜，都击杀了，又要掰坏埃及一切的神。我是耶和华，这血要在你们所住的房屋上做记号。我一见这血，就越过你们去。我击杀埃及地投生的时候，灾殃必不临到你们身上。
Here we see another aspect of salvation.
现在我们看见另外一个角度啊，关于救恩。
Sheltered by the blood.From judgment.
那就是借着血来免除掉审判的，免除掉审判。
God was going to deliver the children of Israel by bringing judgment on all the gods of Egypt, the spiritual gods that they worshipped.
所以神要把这些犹太人呢从埃及的这个捆绑里带出来啊，因为他们都在。这个埃及法老就像这个撒旦一样的这个权势下。
And he's going to bring judgment on all.
然后他会把审判带来临到整个全地。
All of Egypt was under judgment.
全埃及都在审判之下。
Every household.
每一个家庭。
But God said there's one way in which you can be sheltered from judgment.
那神说呢，有一个方法你可以躲这个灾。
I want you to take a little lamb, an innocent lamb.
我要你取一头小羊羔，一个无辜的羊羔。
I want you to take that lamb. I want you to kill it in the evening.
我希望你呢，在黄昏的时候杀了它。
And I want you to put the blood on the outside of your house, on the lintel and on the side posts.
那我希望你把这个血呢涂在门框和门楣上。
I want you to go in the door, and I want you to shut the door.
我要你呢。进门，然后把门关上。
Don't let anyone come out until morning.
没有人可以出去直到早晨。
Because at night, midnight, I'm going to come through the whole land, the destroying angel.
在午夜的时候呢，我的灭命的天使会巡行全地。
And he's going to stop at every house.
他会在每一家门口停下。
And if he sees the blood on the doorposts and on the sides.The blood that was placed there by faith, an innocent victim having given its life, the destroying angel will pass over that house.
所以灭命天使如果看见当天的房子上的有门框门楣上有血，这个血是借着信心涂上去的，天使就会越过去。
Judgment is passed because death has already taken place.
所以为什么越过去呢？因为这一家的审判已经发生了，见到血了嘛。
The death of an innocent victim.
就是一个无辜羔羊的血已经有了。
Has taken the place.
已经发生，已经代替了。
And so the judgment doesn't come to that house.
所以审判就没有临到这一家。
But every place where there was no blood.
对于那一切门口没有血的。
Didn't matter who they were.
那不管他是谁。
From the king himself, right to the lowest slave.
从最高的王到最卑贱的奴隶
，judgment came upon that house，
审判都来到这一家。
So there we see very plainly that we're sheltered by the blood, sheltered from judgment.
所以这一词我们会看见就是躲避啊，就是遮蔽这个审判。
And of course, in closing, we want to bring this into the New Testament again, looking forward to that. We look forward to the time when our judgment, our sins were judged on the cross of Calvary.
所以我们往前看呢，看到新约时代，就看见我们的罪在各个他山上被审判。
It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe, verse 9.
可能是哥林多后书的六章九节。
2 Corinthians 6, 9, is it not? I hope so. No.
No.
I always lose this verse in this Bible, isn't it? You know, he has made him to be sin for us. Oh, you know no sin? What is it?
You're not 不知道罪的为我们成为罪。那节经文呢？不是不是不是那个地方。
Where's all these? I can never find this Bible. Is it 5? Oh yes,
521. 5 章21节。5章21节，对。
God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin, the innocent one, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in him.
神使那无罪的替我们成为罪，好叫我们在他里面成为义，成为神的义。
The difference between the lamb in Egypt and the Lamb of God of Calvary is that he was willing to come. He was a willing sacrifice.
所以埃及的羊和那个耶稣基督的这个羔羊区别就是一个是愿意的，耶稣基督是自己愿意的。
In Egypt there was just a picture of God's destroying angel passing over a house because it was sheltered by the blood.
埃及的逾越节只是告诉我们一个图景，神的审判会越过有血遮盖的房屋。
Saved from judgment because a life had already been given, that innocent life.
那一个无辜的生命已经被献上了，所以审判就得着了代价。
So how much greater is the blood of the Lord Jesus, who came as a willing victim?
那如果耶稣基督是作为一个自愿的祭物，这样的祭物又何等的大呢？
One who bore in his own body on the cross the sin of us all.
那在十字架上他用自己的身体担当了我们所有人的罪。
And so, that's a picture really again in, of the, Passover is a picture of redemption as well.
所以这个是一个逾越节的预表啊，也是我们救赎的一个途径。
Because having been spared death, we owe our lives to the Lord. He's paid the price.
因为我们的命得赎了以后呢，我们其实是生命是属神，是归他的，因为我们是他买出来的。
So we've been redeemed as well. There's a picture of this. We're continue next week. We're going to look at another couple of Old Testament pictures of redemption, about salvation, and how it expands through the Old Testament until we come to the New Testament. And all those Old Testament pictures, what they do is they focus on that one great sacrifice that was made on the cross.
所以我们下一周会继续。 再去继续看这个救恩和以血代赎，在旧约它还有一些故事，直到我们来到耶稣基督在十字架上的工作。 OK， 我们一起来做个结束的祷告。我们在天上的父，我们谢谢您您借着圣经把这图景清楚地告诉了我们，就是您既舍了爱子替我们死在十架上，岂不把万物都白白赐给我们。父啊，我们当我们了解这救恩的时候，我们不但在罪的审判上得赎，我们更是看见了您显明那长阔高深的爱，我们就在一切的环境里义无挂虑坚定地信靠您。求您这样的带领我们，帮助我们，祷告奉主耶稣基督的圣名，阿门。